This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Evolve Golf. They're a company who is absolutely committed to making products that are better for the player, the course, and the planet. You've probably seen some of their divot tools, ball markers, motion wool socks, leather works, and my personal favorite, the Epoch Golf Tee. You should go over to www.evolvegolf.com and see all the fantastic products they have that you might love to incorporate into your game. Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the... Oh, God, dude, I am a mess today. I can't even get into the actual episode. We are the Off Course Podcast, and joining me this week is Mr. James Miles. He is a staff writer on THP. You can find his Unreal articles on there, including his new education pieces, which are really, really interesting. There's a fantastic bit of information on sound and feel over there. James, welcome to the show.
I think it's the perfect intro for me. I'm a mess anyway, so hey.
Listen, this was... nothing about this episode has been correctly planned. An hour ago, I was watching my kid hit a grand slam in baseball. By the way, I like baseball, so that's fun. Strikeout six batters. And I realized everything I had done to this point meant absolutely jack shit by comparison. I had no idea that my accomplishments would mean so little when my kids started excelling at anything. And you are now here to sort of tolerate that for the next 40 minutes of your life. How do you feel about that?
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Well, being that you're Uncle James, I suppose you'll give a little bit of leeway there.
I'm pumped, man. That's freaking awesome. Those are like big time memories.
We had this whole show set up. It was going to be an afternoon show. It's now an evening show, which means a couple wobbly pops are currently being taken in. I also have a flight tomorrow. We could have done this in person, frankly, but I guess it's good that we're going to do it this way, because I'm coming to Oklahoma to play in your member guest. Popping my member guest cherry, it sounds like, with a kayak this time, which is fun.
We will need a canoe and we will need life vests and just to hold on for dear life.
Man, what a weird year it's been. 2025 has been a lot of firsts for me, and a whole lot of weather. How has your year started, James?
It's been start and stop so freaking much that it is the most annoying thing I've ever seen. I've got things that I want to prep for, and I guess I don't have an excuse because I've got indoor setup, but it's just like we are in peak temperature season. So I want to be outside. I want to be doing, you know, everything outside. And I have, for the sake of it, with all the moisture that we've had here, I've gone out and gutted it out and walked through the mud, and that's just not very fun.
So yeah, I've been threatened to bring all versions of rain gear.
You better have the rain gear.
I'm pretty sure I have to paddle as well. Yeah, it's been a sort of frustrating start to the year. I like it here because if you can dance around the rain, you have the ability to walk more. We have cart rules on the weekends, which support pace of play. But subsequently, if the carts are on the path, usually that means half the people bail. So pace of play is pretty excellent. You get to walk. So it's kind of like it's a hit or miss, win and lose. But yeah, it's been kind of a weird year. But I'll say this, all credit to the guys at my golf course. We've got new bunkers this year that are draining phenomenally. And I think it's in some of the best condition I've ever seen, which here's the problem with that, James, is I feel spoiled now. Mm-hmm. The putts roll end over end to the point where if I'm really rolling it well, it feels like that ball's glued to the ground. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're a good putter. Of course, you know what I mean. There is that off season acceptance where the ball bounces a lot and it's like, ugh, whatever, man, it's the season. Now I have no excuse. It's either glued to the green or I'm doing it wrong.
Yep, that's about where we are right now too. Like that's been the saving grace of all the other stuff going on with how much rain and everything we've had, is that the greens are in really, really good shape. So I try to live and die by that. The last week and a half, that's just kind of been where it's my happy place, I guess, is a good way to put it.
So I noticed and actually our mutual friend, we call him Pops at this point, I guess.
Old bud.
He's he's been sharing some info about some challenges your course has had. I don't think anyone had a great summer last year based on how brutal it was, but did you guys lose some grass around your greens?
Our winter got us. We had some winter kill around the green surrounds. It's the suck of it is it's the second year in a row. And they tried to plant some fescue and protect some slopes this year, and the winter wasn't as bad, but everything got sodded so late last year. It was about a week before this, where we're about to play my member guest. It was about a week before last year. So they did it a couple weeks earlier, and it's kind of taken and it's done well, but it's frustrating because when you see everything else just hit peak perfection and then you have, you know, green surrounds that have been recently sodded. Now they did it. You will laugh so hard at the way that they carved this sod in. It's like an art project of all this curvature and everything else they've done with it, but it's good. It's just, you know, Mother Nature's not been kind the last couple of years around here. And it's just, it is, I guess it is what it is. You live with it or you just get over it. And I don't know. I just kind of suck it up and close my eyes.
You play with what you have, right? And I was actually heckling this past week was Muirfield, Jack's tournament. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know my perspective on Jack at this point. It's not a particularly positive one. Not a big fan of his opinions post unbelievable tour success and leaning into the later stages of his time here. But yeah, I was kind of laughing because if you remember years ago, James, they had two tournaments at Muirfield in the same year. Mm-hmm. And one tournament, everything was really soft. And then he baked everything out for the following tournament and let it just burn. And it played so differently. And I believe at the end of that tournament, they actually had bulldozers coming in, breaking up some things they wanted to renovate
during tournament. No, it was during play. As they were finishing holes, they were ripping out greens because they replaced every green. So he just burned them to concrete. Yeah. It was the craziest freaking thing I've ever seen. It was the most Jack thing ever.
Exactly. So I'm watching this tournament the other day, and we haven't seen a ton of rain here in Cincinnati, but there's been some. So when I watched these balls, like mud balls everywhere on day one, I'm like, okay, Jack, water a little harder there, bud. And apparently Columbus has got a lot of rain, so I guess I owe him a beer for that one.
I mean, you know, it made Jordan happy. He loves mud balls.
Yeah, everyone on tour loves mud balls from what I understand. It's become quite a positive thing. You know, the funny part of that is I've been heckling them for years now. You want to fix the distance problem, soften up the fairways, and apparently it's just now a mud ball problem, which I think is funny.
I mean, hey, it makes it a heck of a lot more interesting.
Well, I want to segue pretty comfortably into something I was going to talk later on the show about, and I do want to circle back on the course conditions because I think it's an interesting discussion. But Jack made a comment earlier this week that I've been really struggling with, and he's trying to protect the players when they have to offer up interviews during their round. There was a lot of feedback on a lot of pretty polarizing perspectives. What's your take, James?
I think they should suck it up and do the interview. I mean, I get where people are coming from with this whole in the moment thing and everything else. Like, but I don't, Jack felt really old man yelling at the clouds to me. On a lot of it, especially when we're talking about now I can get behind it in like majors. I can get behind it on tour championship stuff. I can get behind that then, but with his tournament and some of these elevated purses or whatever else, like it's the only thing amidst these 6.5 hour rounds that's going to keep people's entertainment whenever the coverage isn't showing up in golf shots anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just kind of where I am.
You know, I remember reading Arnold Palmer's book, and listen, I'm a Palmer guy through and through. Mm-hmm. His perspective is typically my perspective on how the pros should interact while they're out there. He believed, at least the way he described it, he felt that he probably had an opportunity to win quite a few more tournaments during his time had he have devalued the engagement with the fans. But he also redefined what it meant for fan engagement, I feel like, as a professional golfer. So I understand that there's a very strong line drawn in the sand based on that generation of player. And Jack was very much on the other side. He's like the Tiger side where if I'm playing, you know, respectfully, Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to swear. I don't think this is a kid's show.
I didn't swear. I said the letter.
Go shove it up your ass is basically the perspective that he has. But that's been his perspective ever since he played.
Yep.
So it's like, I sort of expect it out of you. But here's where I really struggle with. We've spent the last couple of years figuring out how to make golf better. And mm-hmm. and I don't mean the sport of golf. I mean the PGA Tour. And I'm sitting back thinking, like, Jack, if it's an interview to actually get these people engaged and get a new fan favorite or whatever it takes, isn't that exactly what we need?
Yes. Yes. It's entirely... You and I've talked about it before on the show here. Like, something has to be done to bring more engagement. Now, I will say, I think they should have to do the interviews. I think it's a cop out to say that it disrupts everything else. It doesn't necessarily mean I like the interviews. I think it would be way better if you're not going to do the interviews, then you have to let us hear player caddy conversations more.
Interesting point. Plugging in to the guys.
Yes,
is a really curious point.
And I know that's tedious because whenever they know they're on, they change the things they say and how they act. Some players do. Others like JT and them, they've actually embraced that aspect of it all. And I really like it. Like, they don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to get yourself in trouble. You have to trust the broadcast on that. And I know that's harder. But if you don't want to do the interviews, then you have to give something, because it has to stop being this completely disassociated thing. I mean, why is Bryson all of a sudden gone from king asshat to basically beloved in all this? Is because he's become accessible and he's found ways. Like, it's doing things the tour won't do. And a plain interview is kind of boring anyway. It's not, against Jack's point, it's not like we're asking them to, you know, give us an essay on how they've been playing that day. So it could be quick hit things. It could be easy things, or just let us hear because I would rather hear the conversations between the players and the caddies. I really would. I think that'd be pretty cool to hear more of that. But I've always thought that, and I understand the issues with trying to get that done too.
You know, I think the biggest problem I have for this, and I hate to even admit it, is I totally understand where Jack's coming from. I there are not a lot of other sports where in between plays, you're going to have that sort of interaction with the player. I get where he's coming from in total. I just don't feel like it's the right time for the conversation. And what I mean by that is golf has lost a lot of that connection to the player by losing, you know, a lot of the big names to a different tour. So it happens, right? And golf needs to reinvent its identity on the PGA Tour. If that means interacting with the caddies and giving us that inside look, like, I mean, full swing have my wife and son both watching the Masters. So mm-hmm. clearly there's something to that secondary element there that I wasn't aware was even possible from a wife perspective. And listen, she's a golfer, dude. She doesn't care at all about the tour, but she was just as invested as everyone else was on Rory winning that Masters. So something's there, drawing that connection. And this is what soured me about Jack's perspective so much, is just, it is not the time to pull away from the players. It's time to connect the player to the individual.
And I think that's a great point. I hadn't thought about it really that way, but I mean, it kind of brings us back to this whole, and I don't want to sit here and vilify Jack. He does that good enough on his own.
I'll do that for you.
But you think say about, what you need. I mean, to do. You know where I stand on him too. Like, but for me, I mean, I often wonder, and I sit here now, like the tour split and all these things happen. To me, that's a situation where someone like a Jack should play a role, and he's incapable of doing it because he's a crotchety old man most of the time who's yelling at, you know, what was and what should be and these things. Whereas, like, I wonder, like, had Arnie been around when all this happened, like, would there have been like another voice in the room? Right. We obviously know it's not going to be Jack or Gary Player. Like, you know, it's not going to be those kind of guys, but like, there's no, I don't want to say there's no adult voice in the room, because these are professional golfers that are all adults, but there's no legendary voice in the room. Jack and Tiger are the same when it comes to that kind of thing. And they don't really care about the engagement. I don't care how they try to solve issues. They don't care about the engagement with the people. And you're right. That's part of the problem that the tour has right now, that professional golf as a whole has, is the engagement with the spectators. Like, so to complain about one little thing and take that away in the middle of a 6-hour round, that's I don't know. Wrong time, wrong place.
I think the optics of careers have put them into a fairly small window to have perspectives on. So the idea that Jack's going to come out and be like player forward in engagement is mm-hmm. incredibly unrealistic. I don't need him to say something to know what he thinks. I think the same for Tiger. I think Tiger making that comment would be incredibly disingenuous, I think, because, you know, he was so stonewalled during his viable career. The tournaments he was highly relevant in, he was not engaging at all. So for him to come out and say, well, I don't think they should do that, I'm like, a freaking course you don't think that way. You clearly don't think that way, and you never thought that way. So having an open mind is unrealistic from your side. And I think that's the challenge here, is we need people to speak out who feel differently and to provide different offer solid alternatives to propel this tour forward, instead of maintaining the current trajectory of irrelevance.
Yeah, because status quo is not working. It's not working.
It's not. Yeah, I mean,
I don't care what anybody says. It's not working.
For Bryson to go full, you already mentioned his name once. Whatever he did, like, the PGA Tour should hire him as a consultant. Because, I remember 2 years ago, everyone hated Bryson.
Yep.
They thought he was a total turd. I remember defending him all the way up until Antgate, that he was a decent guy. And then he goes away, and suddenly everyone loves him. Like, even in his full onesie Reebok jacket, people still loved him. I don't get it.
But the thing about that right there is, even when he did go away, people still thought he was a jerk and an ass. It wasn't until the midst of after he'd gone away, like, he was not automatically embraced on Live for what he is now. Like, that transition started to happen there. And it's because the only thing it can be is because there is more given to players, like we've talked about, to be able to put themselves out there and to market themselves, where the tour does not want individual players marketing themselves. Yet they don't know how the hell to market a player.
Yeah, the tour doesn't market anything.
No, like, because they don't have a tiger now. Well. Yeah, they don't have somebody to just put out there and let them do it for themselves.
That's not fair. You know what the one thing the tour markets incredibly well is? The size of the purse, which is the least relevant thing of the entire conversation. Like, I don't care how much these dudes make. It makes no difference to me. They're not handing me a check at the end of their week. Why would I care?
Oh, I mean, the graphic this weekend, they did that, the champions from the elevated events this year, and Scotty's going to join that. And I'm like, I was immediately like, who gives a damn that these are elevated events? That was like, it's a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Again, you money, especially now, like, all you're going to do is drive people away more. The more you talk about that, like, talk about the competition, talk about the players, find a personality to latch onto, like, something, anything other than just, hey, we threw 10 more million on there. You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things that has never impacted me before, and I've been pretty indifferent on it for a long time, is the necessity of players to show up at events, specific players showing up at specific events to make them relevant. And originally I was sort of indifferent on it. I understand that, there is a level of effort that goes into this, and time away from family is a challenging thing. It's certainly the amount of time that these guys spend away. But, you know, I live through the optics of a 9-year-old at this point, who he's latched on to Rory as a guy he really loves to follow, Scotty as well. And it's kind of the full swing crew. That's Fitzpatrick guy, you know, it leans into that, but Rory is sort of at the top of his list right now. And I didn't realize up until this tournament, when Rory decided to not go to Muirfield from the Memorial, that's just down the street from me. And my family had talked about getting tickets and going to see Rory play, including my wife, who's a fan now after Full Swing. And when he drops out, it's like the desire to go and the level of interest plummets dramatically because of that. And I didn't personally realize that as an individual until that happened to people who are around me. So I'd love your take on this. I know I just sort of semi cut you off there.
No, it's an interesting, though, like, we go back to Full Swing. The one creative thing, the one truly creative, because the indoor golf crap, I'm sorry, it does nothing for me, and I don't think it does anything for most golfers. Like you and I've talked about it. It needs to go full arcade, like goofy old school Tiger Woods courses, like, you know, the chaos that used to be, or something. But like, it was Full Swing's the one creative thing that's been done around these players where personalities were seen and people latched onto it. I've gotten my wife into Formula One, Drive to Survive,
Which
Full Swing kind of branched off of the success that had from Drive to Survive. But Formula One still does it so much better than the PGA Tour. And I know they have less people and whatever else you get into it, but I'm just like, I feel like the tour at times just doesn't want to look outside their own bubble. Now, Rory, that was an interesting thing this week, because did you see the interview that Jack did?
No.
So Jack was in the booth or maybe the press conference before, and they brought up that, hey, when did you find out that Rory is not going to play? Did you talk to him? And Jack said, I found out when everyone else did. I haven't heard anything from him.
Jack, he took that a little personally, did he?
Yes, and it made me go, and I'm not a Jack guy, but it made me go, oh no. Like grandpa's mad, and he is, but it's rightfully so. But there you go. Like, Rory's got something going on in his world right now. I don't really want to get into it. We all have theories. But to do that the way it's done, like, that hurts. It hurts not just the tournament as a whole. It hurts the spectators as a whole. It hurts the people around. It's like you were talking about with being able to take family and go. Like, when we had the PGA Championship here and I took some of my high school golfers, like, that was their guy that they were going to see. They were going to see Rory.
At Southern Hills. That's a James Miles gift right there for me. Very much in the background. Anyways, continue.
No, it's just, I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic when you talk about it. But likewise, how many players really drive people to go to events? A handful, right? And you can't expect them to go to every single tour event.
No,
and that's where we loop back around to, like, they have a personality marketing problem. I don't care what you say. You can't tell me that they're all, you know, Cantlays out there and they have no personality. I do not believe you. I will not believe you. There are plenty of personalities out there. They just don't know how to access them and how to use them to their advantage to make draws. And is it just winning? I don't think so. Ricky Fowler was a draw forever and he didn't win squat hardly. So
yeah,
what do you do? Like,
well, I'll give you another example. Weird that it sort of is the Cobra parallel, but I think everyone and their friend is rooting for Max Homa to pick it back up. Max has an awesome presence on social media. Roasting the golf swing is one of my absolute favorite things he does. I've been following his work this week, trying to get in the U.S. Open, how he's struggling to find his way. I'm not trying to say that they should, celebrate what's happened and the challenges he's had, but those are the types of players that make a massive difference. And I feel the same way about Max when he's winning versus when he's losing. Like they mentioned last year, he's like in the top 10 in the world. That is certainly a big plummet, but you know, how many of those guys are out there that are like Max who can actually be interesting when you get a mic on them? Or to your point earlier, get a mic on them and their caddy. You can still be selective on what's heard and what's said.
Yep.
While allowing people to get that inside look. And I think that, James, is one of the biggest components of why everyone loved Full Swing, is because you get that inside vibe of these players' lives or these players' experiences during tournaments. It's so much more than, you know, what the purse is or what the score is on that day. And it doesn't need to be the biggest guy on the leaderboard. It needs to be the guy who's interesting, who has a chance.
Yeah. And besides that, like the aversion that they have to trying things fascinates me. And I'm talking about the PGA Tour. Like the money thing is the only thing they've tried, though. It really is, Dan. Like they don't, it's almost like there's still so much old guard in there. And I think Jack is a representation of that.
Mm.
The old way of the way in golf is the worst at this is the way we've always done it. So we're going to continue to do it this way and bash our head against the wall until we realize we've screwed up and we've cut our tour in half, not half, but we've lost half of our big name players. And now we try to overcorrect. Yeah. And isn't that fascinating, that in of itself? Like, the amount of personalities that were lost are honestly, when you quantify it in numbers and you go through the names, it's small, but they're big enough and they were present enough that it felt like the tour was cut in half.
Well, here's the problem that I face, and I think a really good example of that is next week they'll be at Oakmont for the US Open. Do you remember the last time Oakmont had a big tournament? The conversation there was how many corners can Dustin Johnson hit? How many corners can he cover rather than going the traditional line? They will most certainly obsess over what Bryson does.
Mm-hmm.
And they will most certainly obsess over what Rory does. But the idea that we've been gouged that experience from the last one, we can't tie it in. That's I think what I've struggled with so much, and especially when it comes to watching tour golf, is I always loved having those subtle connections I could drag through the mud, even when they were playing bad. I was a Dustin Johnson guy for forever. And that's all the navy blue days. I was okay with it. I was in the bad wedge game days. I was in the good wedge game days. But like, there was always that subtle connection that I had where he shows up. It's like, all right, cool. Let's see what he does here. And he has a really interesting swing. So you tie it all together. When you take away those kind of characters, you inevitably take away a lot of the storylines that exist. And sure, DJ could play in it, or is he in the field? I don't even know at this point.
That's a great question.
He might be. But the point is, you need to find those guys that still exist on tour and give us reason to chase what they're doing, not just what Scotty's doing or Rory's doing or Xander's doing. Like, you can't rely on the guys at the top to create the all-out interest.
And it feels like that's what it's fallen back to. Like, I mean, we are watching Scotty like do generational things. He is doing generational things. Like, there are three players or what, four players that have won this many this quickly and like all legendary. And you're putting him with Jack and Tiger and some of that stuff. Not saying he's Tiger, not saying he's Jack, but what he's doing is legendary, but there's still nothing beyond to connect to. And I remain fascinated because there are so many. I don't know if you watched any of the college stuff this last week. Like, there are some guys coming and they're turning pro now, and they have unique moves and they have power and they have personality and all these things. And I'm just like, why are you not finding ways to draw that out of a Ludwig that you have right now? Why are you not? And I know they're not playing well, but that's the Max thing, right? Max is not playing well, but Max is still an attention draw. Victor should be an attention draw. You have these names that should be attention draws, but I genuinely think they have no clue how to go about it. And anybody who shoots an idea out to them is probably shot down immediately and told they're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. They get their email forwarded to Jack and he says, no, is what happens.
Shut up and have a milkshake.
You know, Hovland's an interesting guy. How did he not get like the most popular guy on tour award? He seems like so likable. Well, he seems like he's got good character, but he's also pretty balanced. Is the challenge that he wasn't wildly successful? Is that what holds him back?
I wonder. I mean, do you remember when he and Wolfie came out at the same time? Wolf got the big win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that quirky swing, and we all thought, here we go, here it is. What if Victor had got the big win early?
Mm.
Like, how does that change things? Because now Victor started to get the stigma of, well, he can't finish a major. He can't finish a major. I hate it when we do that. It's the most played out thing ever, right? But it makes you kind of wonder, what if, like, if that was the thing that stymied that becoming, because he's I can tell you, having met him, like, he's exactly what you think he is. And it's just he's a big goofy kid.
Just and a goofy, happy to be there kid.
Like, and it's the perfect personality that you need to like latch to. Because as good as Scotty is, Scotty's not a personality. Scotty will tell you he's not a personality. The most personality we saw out of Scotty was him being arrested, and then this week his wife handing him a poopy baby and him talking about sometimes it happens. Like, that's the most personality we've seen out of Scotty.
Yeah, I think Scotty's very laid back in a lot of ways, but I think Scotty also dishes it a bit more than we get to see, which is kind of a bummer. I feel like there's more to that story that we get publicized, and maybe he's careful with it.
Yeah, I think
he just seems to be a good old boy who hits the hell out of the golf ball and wins golf tournaments. And even Jack Nicklaus would agree, since we're dogging him all episode today. That's just great.
Way to go, Jack.
Man, I don't know. I hope we get a good US Open. I think DJ's in the field. I mean, he won it, 9 years ago now? God, that's forever ago.
But I sure, like it was longer.
I sure remember it. It was a heck of a tournament. I'm really hoping for another good one. I'm pretty sure my course is closed for a couple days that weekend, so I'll be absolutely glued to the storyline. And it'll be fun to see who comes out of the woodwork, mostly just who shows us that they could be the next guy. And hopefully the tour figures it out. Maybe we just start blasting them on social media. Like, come on, figure this out. Make this your guy.
Or Patrick Reed wins, and then we're sitting here going, what just happened?
And then everyone turns the TV off on Friday. Yeah, I get it. That would be just the absolute icing on the cake of misery right there. I don't even know what to say to that, James.
Right?
Why do you gotta...
Isn't it depressing?
All right. Here's what I want to do. I'm curious because I don't want to talk about that anymore. So let's talk about something a little bit happier. Listen, I'm not over the baseball thing, but I do want to talk about kids and golf a little bit with you. You're a great, great guy to have on the show because you have three little ones who've expressed interest. I doubt the golf camps have started yet for 2025.
They had golf camp last week.
I guess I'm wrong. Tell me, buddy, what is your outlook this year for the kiddos in golf and how you feeling?
I think so. This was their third year. Our course does it cool. We do 3 days and they're there for 4 hours each day. And it's like the week after school gets out. So they get right into it. And then we have member guests this week, but then the following 8 weeks, 6 weeks, one day a week, the kids all come back to the course and they go on the course and they play. So they do their three camp days and then they break them into, they had like 87 kids this year, which is just a gargantuan group. But my kids, not only were all the high school kids helping out excited to see Magnolia specifically, but all three of them did really, really well. So like it's finally hit that point of, okay, now we can go out in the evening time and we can go, you can either just ride in the cart with me until you want to do something, or we can go out and play a couple holes. We can load Amanda up with it and everybody can just kind of go out and have some fun with it. They know enough. They're aware enough of their surroundings. It's not about how well they hit the ball. It's never been about that. It's just, you know, how it like it's getting them to the point where they are aware of everything going on around them in a golf course. And I think we're there. We'll see.
Timing is interesting, right? Like I know it's a little different with three for you, but I have a really big issue with that. I'm incredibly cognizant of everyone else around me. The last thing I want to do is be a burden. If you want to torture me for any amount of time, have me join your tea time and let's be the slow group out there that will absolutely murder my soul. That is a huge, huge problem with me. So, you know, I have one boy, he's 9, he'll be 10 this year. And the first thing we did was talk about golf etiquette. Mm-hmm. There are things you can and cannot do out there. There are plenty of things that support you being on course that doesn't burden anyone around you and shows the people behind you that you are willing to stay out of their way when you possibly can. And I, unfortunately for my boy, I've sort of hammered that into him for the last couple of years, but he's at the point, man, where his expectations might be higher than mine are for pace of play. But he's also bashing the ball. I don't think we've talked about this year. This kid is hammering the ball. James, you know that moment when the kids stop hitting the ball or swinging?
They stop swinging at the ball.
When they stop making contact with the ball, like the ball gets in the way and they start hitting it, and that thing the driver starts to make a totally different noise. This is the year. Like, he is hammering the ball. We have this amazing thing. And listen, if you guys out there are are not big on junior golfers. I understand it. Please bear with me. It might give you a better optic the next time you're out there seeing kids with their parents, and hopefully they're trying to teach them the right things. But I'm going to go back to gushing about my kid real quick. PGA junior tees is one of my favorite things. They set up all around the course in distances that are completely acceptable for kids. And I've created this rule with my son, Calvin, that when he gets to a point where he birdies a hole from the junior tees, we'll take him back. And he now has the option of hitting from the red tees on that hole, which is amazing. So he is now conquered, we'll call it, conquered a few holes and is moved back to the reds. And dude, I've never been more sure of something in my life. Either my wife or my son will get a hole in one on the third hole of my golf course long before I ever dreamed to. It's like I don't know, 90 yards, and he's hitting this 7-iron, like running it up. He left it a couple feet away the other day. I'm like, dude,
it's gonna happen.
I just hope he lets me keep the ball and he doesn't keep it for himself. I think it means more to me. But yeah, long story short, this has been a really exciting year. So you talked about this growth that your family has, a little bit more challenging with three rather than one, but you're starting to see this moment where you can actually feel comfortable taking them out. I think you're pretty much like me, where you don't want to burden anyone else.
And yeah, and that's always been my biggest thing. Even whenever I was still coaching high school golf and they would go out with me during practices, I was always so hyper aware of, like, and I mean, they were, you know, the twins were, you know, 4 and 5 then. And it's kind of one of those, your mind stretches it to all the other things of what it shouldn't be focused on. So to get past that's nice, because I don't want to be like, I'm very fortunate to play where I play. I've done all of the public courses things and everything else, and I enjoyed my time there, but like, I'm very fortunate to be where I am now. And I'm very aware of the standards I place upon that. And I probably am hard, bigger on that than the courses. Our course is amazing for juniors. They want juniors on the course as much as they can possibly get them out there, and they facilitate it and they do all the things. And the majority of the members are really good about it and understanding. You just have to be aware to let things go through. There's a couple of groups that I play behind, kids that are probably 12, 13, that their parents have gotten to the point now in the summer where they drop them off and they let them go play around a golf and then go to the restaurant and go to the pool and they go play more golf. And they know anytime a member's coming, they just move to the side and they let them through, and everybody's good with it. And we're getting there, but I'm kind of like you. I'm like hyper vigilant about all the things, but to watch them start to understand that, it's pretty cool. It's exciting. I think it'll be a good year. I hope it'll be a good year. I hope they just learn to love the game. I don't care if they're any good at it or not. You know,
I think based on everything I know about your children, there is at least two of them who will be very uncomfortable until they have owned this sport, if you know what I mean.
it could be quite the journey.
And that's, I think that's what the most interesting thing is. You watch these kids try and figure it out, and what they latch onto. Like currently my son Cal spends more time at the practice green than he does on the driving range, but he doesn't putt. He chips. He will chip from anywhere he can. And I've never seen a kid hit a pin more. He believes the pin's out to get him. It bounces the ball away from the hole. So I have a story for you if you want to hear it.
Of course.
The 9th hole at our golf course connects back to basically the pro shop, that sort of centralized area. And then there's, you know this, but a lot of people don't, the 10th and 11th is a bit of a circuit. So you can go play 10 and 11 and you're not too far away from the clubhouse. So he likes to say, all right, can we play 10 and 11 while we're going down 9? So weeks ago, or last week, I said, okay, if we both par better number 9, which is a par 5, that you have to hit over a pretty significant bit of swamp to get there. I guess marsh is what you call it. A very challenging thing for him. We'll play 10 and 11. So that's sort of his, like, all right, that's what we got to do. And he accomplished it one day, but he accomplished it by birdieing the hole where he thought he needed a bogey. And I actually birdied with him. So it was our first birdie together. So the other night we're playing, this is what I love about my kid. He convinced me to play. James, you know how much I love this stupid game.
Oh, yeah.
Convinced me to play 9 on a Sunday night, and I'm so glad he did. And actually, mom joined us on 3. So we're going down 9, and I've got just a ton of work to do. And he goes, Dad, birdie's on 9. We'll play 10, 11. I'm like, oh, God. I said, all right, buddy, how about an eagle? Thinking like I'll be fine. So he hits this bomb of a drive from the junior tees down to the bottom. Now he's got to hit over this marsh area. Hits this beautiful pitching wedge. Shout out to US Kids for having great options there. Just barely off the green in the rough, like half a foot from the fringe. And he goes, so I'm on the green. My wife's on the green putting for eagle, mind you. I'm putting for birdie. He goes and pulls the pin because screw the pin apparently, and then walks over and chips his shot and ends up, I don't know, 2 inches from going in for eagle.
Wow. Like
I just saved a half 25 minutes of my life not playing 10-11, but dude, that'd have been sick.
That'd have been perfect. Yeah.
Long story short, wife misses her eagle putt. I make my birdie putt, which is the hardest. They both had tap and birdies. I actually had to make a legitimate like 15 footer because I'm apparently not as good as they are. So the whole family makes birdie on this hole. And I'm like, what a feeling, man. You know, that is the stuff you don't want to miss. And I really hope that people out there hear this. If they don't have kids or they're not into the whole kids being on the golf course, I totally get it if they're disruptive or disrespectful. One of the things that really frustrates me is seeing the kids not repair their divots, pitch marks on the greens. My son is extremely aware of that. I understand the frustration there, but if these kids are out there being respectful of your time and you see them, I really hope you're encouraging, not discouraging, because this they are the next generation of this game. We certainly want them to play. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. You can't say any better than that.
I feel like I just had a show full of just gushing on my kid. And I'm sorry if you folks aren't into this. Obviously, we've had a lot of crazy conversations on this show, but sometimes you got to go deep down into the well and talk about the things that really matter. And I had no idea how irrelevant all my successes were prior to this.
That's awesome.
Until your family. So, James, I'm really excited to see what happens with your crew, who becomes the real golfers of the family, who decides it's not that for them, because obviously it's not for everyone.
Yep.
But man, how sick would that be? You got a full foursome with mom playing caddy or even playing. That's really cool.
It would be one of the most memorable things possible. Like it just would. So I don't know. We'll see.
It'll happen. It might happen. You know. But the camps are cool. I need to get Cal into some of those this year. He actually has one that all of his buddies now are skipping other camps to do with him. And I'm pretty sure my kid's going to want to be an instructor there rather than be awesome. Part of the camp. But that's it's cool. Fantastic. I think a local girls high school team is putting the camp on, which is unreal. I love that. Yeah, man. I got nothing but gushing to do right now. Anything you want to talk about today?
I got nothing.
Do you think we're going to survive this week?
I think we're going to survive. And I actually think we're going to play pretty well.
I'm excited that there's no THP Sportsbook in play here. That's a good one.
It'll be fun. It's fun enough. And my wife knows us well enough that she's leaving once you get here.
That's unfortunate. Here's the other question. What is it about you and me and just absolute downpour rain? Because the last time I hung out with you was at Hidden Creek, which is an unbelievably special golf course that THP hosts events at in New Jersey, and it was miserable there. So are we just doomed this year or what?
I think it's just the year of rain and rain gear and just surviving, which, hey, the nice thing is my course is super walkable, so both of us could just ditch the cart and just walk when it's cart path only.
Get a little heavy and with all the little bottles inside it, but that's fine. We'll figure it out. Well, that's what's on tap for us this week. We'll be back with some more great shows coming up here soon. James, thanks for the time today, buddy. I appreciate you.
Anytime. It's my pleasure, man. I love it.
I really mean this. If you're looking for interesting content to read, the Hackers Paradise articles, the homepage is phenomenal. The guys bring out all kinds of great content, including James's new education pieces, which are ridiculously good reads if you want to learn more about product design.
Get your readers ready.
and my goodness, was the first one a doozy. In fact, I've really worked hard not to use that as like a, hey, go read this, then come talk to me conversation starter with some folks from my club. But Sound and Feel is a crazy one. Definitely go check that out. And buddy, I can't wait to see what you have up your sleeve next.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's the start of something pretty, pretty cool.
Awesome. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. If you're playing golf with your kids, make sure they know that you love those moments together, because man, what a cool experience that is. And I look forward to hearing some of those stories. If you do play with them, or you see a junior play and you're impressed by them, tell us about it on the THB community. We'll definitely have a thread up and talking about this podcast as we heckle Jack one more time before we say goodbye. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
What's going on, everybody? Jackson Bragg here, substitute teacher for Shaft University. Today we're talking about torque and why is it important. So first let's talk about torque. Torque is the resistance to twisting during the swing, typically used for graphite shaft specs. The lower number torque, the less twisting, firmer feel. The higher number, more twisting, soft feel, affecting consistency and confidence for the players out on the course. Why do we care? It's the driver of feel in a graphite shaft. That controls your tempo and twisting depending on your swing speed as a player. It plays a huge role. For more information and understanding, go get fit. Learn why a custom fitter may put you in a shaft profile that best suits you.